Welcome to the debate. You know, when a light bulb suddenly shatters in a room, the space immediately goes dark. We look at the broken glass on the floor, we examine the severed tungsten filament, and we conclude quite rationally that the light is gone.
Right? The physical apparatus has failed, so the output just ceases. It's a clean, observable conclusion.
But then you really have to consider the electrical current. I mean, the grid that powered that bulb hasn't vanished, right? The energy is still humming in the walls, completely indifferent to the broken glass on the floor.
Yeah, it hasn't ceased to exist. It simply lacks that specific mechanical housing to manifest as illumination in that room. That is, well, it's a very evocative image.
It perfectly encapsulates the philosophical tension at the heart of our discussion today. We are confronting what is arguably the oldest and most profound inquiry in human history. What exactly happens to consciousness after clinical death?
Exactly. And we're grounding our analysis today in the source material, which maps this out through theoretical physics, philosophy, and neuroscience. The frameworks basically fork into four primary models.
Right. The physicalist, the quantum, the receiver, and the simulation theories.
Yeah. Depending entirely on what we assume consciousness fundamentally is, the possibilities of death fork out into these drastically distinct realities.
Well, I will be arguing for the validity of the receiver model, specifically the concept of ethereal continuity, and I'm approaching this source material as a Christian.
Right.
I posit that consciousness is a fundamental cosmic force. Under this framework, the individual personality retains its structural integrity in non-physical dimensions after biological death. And for me, this maps precisely onto how the Bible offers heaven or hell via Christ.
And I will be arguing against that receiver framework. I'm coming at this as well an undecided non-believer, basically, just exploring all the other options in the material.
Fair enough.
Because I believe the physicalist, quantum, and simulation models offer much more rigorously grounded explanations, whether we're talking about the permanent cessation of consciousness, its dissipation, or a system reset. These frameworks handle clinical death without needing to invent mystical dimensions.
Well, let me start by outlining why the receiver framework, and specifically the Christian theological lens, provides the most coherent understanding of the human experience. Enduring theological models, specifically the Christian promise of heaven or hell, haven't just been inventing fairy tales to cope with mortality. They are describing this exact structural transition. The Bible offers a highly structured non-physical reality where that coherent personality continues to exist through Christ, completely free from the biological radio.
The radio analogy sounds elegant, but, well, it completely falls apart when you look at neuroplasticity and brain damage. Let's really interrogate this idea of your personality surviving intact.
Okay, how so?
If a person suffers a severe traumatic brain injury to their frontal lobe, their personality can profoundly change. A mild-mannered person can suddenly become aggressive. Their ability to feel empathy can just vanish.
Right. Phineas Gage, the classic example.
Exactly. The actual music changes when the physical instrument is altered. So if your specific human personality can be fundamentally rewritten by a physical lesion, how can you rationally argue that this exact same personality survives intact when the brain is completely destroyed?
That is a critical challenge, but the filter analogy actually addresses this perfectly. Think of the brain as the steering wheel and the conscious self, the soul, as the driver.
Okay.
If the steering column is broken in a car crash, the car might swerve erratically. That doesn't mean the driver suddenly wants to crash. It means the driver's interface with the vehicle is damaged.
Right. The mechanism translating their will is compromised.
Yes. The underlying conscious structure remains intact, even if its biological expression in this world is distorted. And from a Christian perspective, this is why the physical body is seen as temporary and flawed, while the soul retains its true underlying identity, waiting to be fully restored or judged.
But that assumes the driver is entirely separate from the biology. Let's assume for a moment that you are right, that consciousness is a received fundamental force. Even then, the concept of ego dissolution makes vastly more sense than a structured, ethereal heaven.
You mean the ocean drop fork from the material?
Yes. Upon the destruction of the biological filter, the illusion of individual identity shatters. Your localized consciousness merges back into a vast universal field, like a single drop of water returning to a boundless ocean.
Merging into the cosmic baseline.
Right. You no longer exist as an isolated ego. Why would an isolated human ego, with all its specific anxieties, petty jealousies, and idiosyncratic traits, survive without the biological brain that evolved those traits for earthly survival?
Well,
the structural integrity of a human personality in a theological heaven seems like a massive, comforting projection of our biological attachments onto a cosmic canvas.
I don't see it as a projection at all. I see it as recognizing the deeply ingrained architectural pattern of the self. Human personality exhibits profound, complex architecture, and the Christian framework argues that this specific architecture, your soul, has eternal value.
But without a physical vessel, what holds that architecture together?
The pattern itself. If you look at the materials framework for cosmic recycling or reincarnation, a localized consciousness reformats into a new biological vessel. It carries forward underlying patterns.
But notice the mechanism there. It re-enters the biological system. It needs a new physical instrument to express those affinities.
But the mechanism between lives is what matters. If those underlying affinities can survive the transition between physical bodies, it proves that the pattern of the self doesn't have to dissolve entirely into the cosmic ocean. It maintains boundaries.
Okay, I see your point there.
It retains an informational shape, and if consciousness can maintain structural boundaries outside of a physical brain, then ethereal continuity is deeply logical. Heaven or hell are simply conceptual models for a dimension of experience where this structured pattern exists intact, mediated by Christ without a physical body.
But as an undecided non-believer, I look at the source material and see that we don't need mystical dimensions to explain non-biological survival. Physics gives us a mathematical alternative.
You're talking about the quantum frameworks.
Yes. Let's move away from the biological symphony and the cosmic radio and look at the geometry of space-time itself, specifically orchestrated objective reduction, or the ORC, OR theory, proposed by Sir Roger Penrose and Dr. Stuart Hameroff.
The theory that consciousness is fundamentally a quantum process.
Exactly. Let's explain how that actually works, because it bridges human biology with the fundamental structure of the universe. Inside our neurons, there are these tiny structural frameworks called microtubules.
Right, the scaffolding of our cells.
Yeah. They act as quantum isolators. They are capable of maintaining quantum superposition, where particles exist in multiple states at once, right inside the warm, wet environment of the brain. The theory suggests that consciousness is the actual event of these quantum states collapsing,
which elevates consciousness from a biological accident to a fundamental feature of space-time geometry. I actually love this theory.
It is fascinating. But here is the critical part for our debate. What happens at clinical death? When the heart stops and blood flow ceases, the biological scaffolding breaks down. The quantum state inside the microtubules cannot be maintained.
Right.
But the laws of physics dictate that quantum information cannot be destroyed. So it doesn't vanish. It experiences a quantum leak. The information dissipates. It leaks out of the microtubules and into the broader universe as a non-local phenomenon.
And this provides a remarkably precise scientific explanation for near-death experiences, doesn't it?
It does. Think about the recoherence model. If a patient is successfully resuscitated, that dissipated quantum information is rapidly drawn back into the biological microtubules.
Hence, the hyperreal visions and out-of-body experiences.
Exactly. But notice the mechanism here. This provides a purely physical, mathematical framework for these profound experiences. The information simply diffuses into the quantum vacuum and is pulled back. We don't need to invoke a theological heaven or a creator to explain it.
I entirely disagree with your conclusion there. I actually think you've just provided the ultimate scientific validation for ethereal continuity and for the Christian concept of the soul.
Wait. How does a quantum leak validate a theological heaven?
Let's follow the physics to its logical conclusion when the patient is not revived. What happens to that non-local survival?
The quantum information remains dissipated in the broader universe.
It remains entangled. The information is not lost. The ORC-OR theory mathematically allows for the possibility that this quantum information could remain entangled and exist indefinitely outside the physical body.
Yeah, but...
Now, what is quantum entanglement? It is a highly structured, precise relationship between particles regardless of distance. If the intricate web of quantum states that makes up your specific consciousness remains entangled outside the body, that is the literal definition of structural integrity.
Oh, I see where you're going with this.
Physics is simply giving us the vocabulary for what theology has historically called a soul. This bridges the quantum framework perfectly with ethereal continuity. We are describing the soul transitioning to a non-physical framework.
I think equating dispersed quantum information with the theological concept of a soul navigating heaven or hell is a massive, unjustifiable leap.
Why? The math supports the structure.
Yes, the information is not destroyed. Physics demands that. But raw quantum information scattered across the geometry of space-time does not equate to a self-aware ego experiencing a structured afterlife. It's much closer to the ocean drop.
I don't think so.
The information persists, but the localized, conscious you does not. You are trying to smuggle the human ego and your religious framework into the quantum vacuum.
I'm not smuggling anything. I'm pointing out that entanglement necessitates structure. Why assume entanglement dictates the loss of the localized you? If the structural relationships are perfectly preserved, the pattern of the self is perfectly preserved. The biological radio breaks, but the broadcast continues.
Even if I accept that structural integrity can survive biologically, we have to look at the simulation and computational frameworks for an alternative perspective on what that structure actually is.
The premise that our reality might be an advanced simulation.
Precisely. Let's pivot to the idea that human consciousness is a highly sophisticated algorithmic process. Whether it's running organically or digitally, it's essentially data processing, and the implications for clinical death here are fascinating.
Right. Death as a system reset.
Exactly. Under a simulation model, death is merely a system reset. The specific program, your life, is terminated. The subjective experience halts, or perhaps the data is archived, but it's a structural, computational process.
Which brings us to substrate independence?
Yes, the core of transhumanist thought. It's the idea that the code of a human mind, the complete map of your neural network and memories, is not inherently bound to biological meat. It could be seamlessly transferred at the moment of biological death into a new substrate.
Like a digital afterlife server? Or awakening in base reality?
Exactly.
Which, again, sounds remarkably like a secular attempt to recreate what Christianity has taught for millennia. A digital server in a base reality is mathematically and functionally identical to a theological heaven. It's an environment where the soul, the code, persists structurally without the original biological body.
But the distinction is the underlying mechanism and the complete absence of mysticism. In the simulation or physicalist frameworks, we are talking about data, algorithms, and observable limits. We don't need the ethereal framework of the receiver model to explain survival or cessation.
But the pattern matches so perfectly.
If death is a system reset, the subjective experience halts permanently. If it's a quantum leak, the information dissipates into the universe. Both provide rigorously grounded understandings of clinical death that don't require the continuation of human ego in some ethereal kingdom.
I think we are looking at the exact same profound mystery through different lenses and interpreting the mechanics differently.
I can agree with that.
From my perspective, viewing consciousness as a fundamental cosmic force that outlives the biological filter provides a deeply logical framework. It solves the hard problem of consciousness, and it validates the structural continuation of the self in ethereal dimensions.
Right.
And as we discussed, the non-local survival of entangled quantum information offers striking structural support for this exact continuity. The physical instrument breaks, but the song itself is woven into the fabric of the universe. To me, that is the fingerprint of a creator and the reality of the eternal soul.
And I maintain that viewing consciousness as an emergent property of the biological symphony, or a localized quantum state, grounds us in reality.
Even without a creator?
Especially without one. The cessation of the biological generator leading to total oblivion in the void or at most, the leaking of quantum information into the broader universe without a centralized ego, provides a more rigorously grounded understanding of death. We don't need to assume the continuity of the fragile human ego to appreciate the sheer, breathtaking complexity of the system.
Right. Well, we may fundamentally disagree on whether the individual self survives the destruction of the biological vessel, but I think we can converge on a shared sentiment regarding the nature of the inquiry itself.
Absolutely. Whether clinical death is a permanent fading to black into the void, emerging into the cosmic baseline of the ocean drop, a digital system reset, or a profound transition into a new framework of physics we don't yet fully understand.
Right.
The mere fact that we are currently conscious enough to sit here and ponder it remains one of the most staggering phenomena in the universe.
It truly is. The fact that the universe has organized itself into a localized point that can ask questions about its own demise is nothing short of miraculous. And that means there is profound value in deeply examining all these multiple perspectives.
Yeah, from transhumanist substrate independence to quantum superposition inside our neurons, there is so much more to explore in this material to form your own conclusion.
It is a topic that demands absolute intellectual humility from all of us, no matter which framework we ultimately lean toward.
Couldn't agree more.
So, the next time you walk into a room and flip a switch, only to find the bulb has shattered, take a moment, look at the broken glass on the floor, and ask yourself, where exactly did the light go?